Welcome to the Manor Lodge School Podcast.
Shining like the gold. I'm a rock, I'm a star. Now, give me what you got. Hello and welcome to the Manor Lodge School Podcast, returning for our 13th series, and we're thrilled to be back to bring you all the wonderful content that the children in the Our Voice Podcast Club want to share with you. So here's what we've got coming up on this edition. We hear about our recent school open day, David Attenborough's 100th birthday, and some upcoming book releases. We have features on sweets, commercial planes, some jokes, and a comedy script. Plus, our teacher interview is with Manor Lodge's Head of Estates, Mr. Clark. Let's kick things off with Noah from Year 6 to tell us about the school's recent open day.
Hello, my name is Noah and I'm here to speak to you about the Manor Lodge open day. On Saturday the 9th of May, several families came to our open day and I had the privilege to tour them around our school. Once every year, Manor Lodge holds their own special open day where families with young children can come and look around at our amazing school. Only Year 5 and 6 came to help. Some people helped in the library, some in the hub, some in the DT room, some on the backfield, and some people were asked to tour. Only Year 6s were asked to tour. Each year there is a different theme to our open day. This year the theme was that who knows what you will be when you leave Manor Lodge. There were 7 different rooms that the tour guides had to take the person they were touring to. The art room, the Japanese garden, the hive, the forest garden, the outdoor kitchen, the woodland garden and the Basil Flatchman. When the prospective family came through the office doors, they were given a teddy bear. In the 7 rooms they had to see, they all got a little accessory to add to their teddy bear. Each different accessory showed what they could end up being when they leave Manor Lodge. I had a great time and I'm sure you will too if you help out. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Bye!
Next, we have Taha, Roshan and Freddie from Year 5 with a feature about a recent milestone birthday.
Hello, my name is Taha.
My name is Roshan.
And my name is Freddie. And we are talking about
the one and only David Attenborough.
There is a special reason. He's turning
78?
No.
65?
No.
23?
I'll just tell you.
100!
I thought you didn't know.
David Attenborough is a naturalist. As you can guess, he's turning 100!
His birthday is on the 8th of May.
He's the same age as what the Queen would be now.
He grew up on the Leicester Uni campus.
He won 3 Emmys.
His brother's an actor, Lord Richard Attenborough, who was on Jurassic Park and Miracle of 34th Street.
His career began as host of ZooQuest.
He then began to make his own TV shows, such as Blue Planet 1 and 2.
He spent 2 years in the Royal Navy.
He first got rejected for the BBC.
Unfortunately, as he grew older, he couldn't go abroad and did shows about England.
Some of these were Secret Garden and Wild London.
What's your favourite David Attenborough show?
Mine is Kingdom. Mine is 6 Years in the Wilds.
Mine is Blue Planet. And
that is why David Frederick Attenborough, with 25 awards, is one of the most recognised persons. Let's end on a joke. What do you get when you merge an otter and a naturalist?
An otterist?
No.
An otter with a microphone?
What? I'll just tell you. David Attenborough. Remember to like and tell all your friends. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Ola from Year 5 is here next to talk about some forthcoming book releases.
Hi, I'm Ola and I will be talking to you about 5 books that came out or are coming out in 2026. First up, you have Lottie Brooks by Katie Kirby. Book 9. The Seriously Epic Holiday of Lottie Brooks came out on the 9th of April this year, with Book 10, Lottie Brooks' 12 Disasters of Christmas, coming out in October 2026. I can't wait to read them, since it's my favourite book series. Next, we have Escape from the Child Snatchers by Sophia Ahmed, which came out on the 29th of January 2026. I've never heard of it. I just searched up. Then we have Keeping Possession, written by Eve Ainsworth on the 12th of March. Also never heard of it. Next, we have Rock and Roll by Ruby Amy Thompson. This book is for any of you little reception children, and of course, any of the older ones who would like to revisit these days. It came out on the 5th of February. Now, for anyone who did the Children's Book Awards, you know my name is Sam, right? Well, now we have My Name is Zane, which is coming out on the 20th of August, 2026. Finally, we have This Is Not the Diary of Ibby Dobson by Abigail Balfe, which came out on the 2nd of April this year. It's about an 8-year-old girl called Izzy who has undiagnosed ADHD, sort of like Lottie Rex, which is why it came out on World Autism Day. Anyways, I recommend you get them all, and I'll see you next time. Bye!
Now, Anissa and Raina in Year 4 have a rundown of the top 10 sweet brands.
Hello, my name is Anissa.
And my name is Raina.
And we are going to talk about the top 10 sweet brands around the world.
The first one is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups from the USA.
The Reese's candy was introduced in the year 1928. The man who created the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup was a farmer by the name of Harry Burnett Reese. Reese was a former shipping foreman and a dairy farmer for Milton S. Reese started working for Hershey's in 1917. However, several years later, Reese left his job to engage in his own candy business. Harry Reese gained his inspiration to start his business from working in the chocolate factory section of the Hershey Company. The original name for Reese is candy was penny cups due to their price at time being only 1 cent in the early 1930s. There have been over 20 variations of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups that had been sold as limited edition cups for various occasions such as Christmas, Halloween and Valentine's Day. The largest Reese's Peanut Butter Cup weighs 80 ounces and is sold in packs of two on the official Reese's site for anybody to buy. The candy has its own special holiday, I Love Reese Day, and is celebrated across the US every year on May. Approximately 40,000 fans joined on an online campaign in 2011 to make I Love Reese's Day an official holiday for the candy. Reese's makes enough peanut butter cups in 1 year to feed one cup to every person in the USA, Japan, Europe, Australia, China, Africa, and India. Reese died only a few days before his 77th birthday without seeing his candy become one of the most popular candies in the US. The second one is M&M's from the USA again.
M&M's is the brand name of a colour-varied, sugar-coated, sugary chocolate confectionery made by the Mars Wrigley Confectionery Division of Mars since 1941. The confection consists the candy shell surrounding of a filling that determines the special type or variety. Each piece has the letter M printed in lowercase in white on one side. They are produced in different colours, some of which have changed over the years. The original confection of this brand has had a semi-sweet chocolate film that upon introduced some of the original confection of other varieties was branded as plain normal variety. The first alternate variety to be introduced was the peanut M&M in 1954. It featured a peanut coated in milk chocolate and finally coated with a candy shell. It still remains regular variety. Numerous of other varieties have been introduced, some of which are regular widespread varieties. Peanut butter, almond, pretzel, crisp, dark chocolate and caramel. While other varieties are limited in duration or geographic availability. The third one is Cadbury's Dairy Milk from the UK.
Cadbury Dairy Milk is a British brand of milk chocolate manufactured by Cadbury since 1905. Every product in the Dairy Milk line is made exclusively with milk chocolate. In 1928, Cadbury introduced the glass and a half slogan to accompany the Dairy Milk chocolate bar to advertise the bar's higher milk content. The bar was developed by George Cadbury Jr. and by 1914 had become the company's best-selling product. A century on, it has retained its position as a market leader in Britain, where it was ranked the best-selling chocolate bar in 2014. Dairy Milk is available in countries including China, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, the Philippines, Indonesia and Bangladesh, as well as in the United States, where it's manufactured and distributed by the Hershey Company under license from Cadbury, with a recipe that differs from the original. The fourth one is Milka from Germany.
Milka is a European brand of chocolate and confectionery. Originally made in Switzerland in 1901 by Sachard, it had been produced in Lorach, Germany since 1901. Since 2012, it had been owned by US-based company Mondelez International when it demerged from its predecessor, Kraft Foods Inc., which had taken over brands in 1990. It is sold in bars and a number of novelty shapes for Easter and Christmas. Products with the Milka brand also include chocolate-covered cookies and biscuits. The brand's name is a portmanteau of the product's original two main ingredients, milk, and cacao, which is cocoa. In the present days, sugar and cocoa butter have replaced them as the main ingredients. The fifth one is Trident from Brazil.
Trident is a brand of sugar-free chewing gum owned by the Italian-Dutch company Perfetti Van Mella. It was originally introduced by American Chico in 1960, shortly before it was bought by Warner Lambert in 1962. It reached the UK in 2007 when it was introduced by its then owner Cadbury Schweppes in the United Kingdom. Trident is sold in more than 70 countries around the world, but sometimes marketed under different names. The gum is called Stimerol across much of Europe and Africa, Belladent in Argentina, First in Turkey, Dirol in Russia, and Hollywood in France. The sixth one is Orbit Gum from Russia.
The Orbit name in chewing gums dates back to early 20th century. It was made as Orbit Listerated Gum by the Common Sense Co., later known as Listerated Gum Corp. The Orbit trademark went to Wrigley when it bought Listerated Gum Corp. in 1925. The Orbit brand was reintroduced 30 years later in 1976 when it was introduced in Germany, Switzerland and the Netherlands. This marked the first time that a sugar-free gum was marketed under the Wrigley name. The brand was later introduced in many other countries around the world. In the US, Orbit launched in 1977 but ran into trouble because of Xylitol sweetener. In 1984, Wrigley launched Extra, which contained the aspartame sweetener. The seventh one is Phaser Blue from Finland.
Phaser Blue is often ranked as the best-selling confectionery in Finland. It also regularly polls as the most respected brand among Finns. Practically in polls conducted by the magazine Marketoni and Main Atona and the polling organisation Telemastroni Oy. The chocolate is widely considered a part of Finnish cultural heritage and cuisine. It owes its unique taste to the use of fresh milk in production as opposed to powdered and condensed milk commonly used in chocolate manufacturing. Compared to other chocolates, Fazer Blue also has a relatively high milk concentration. The chocolate is sold in various forms and amounts, ranging from 200 grams, which is 71 ounces, slabs, to boxes of confectionery pieces. The eighth one is Hollywood from France.
For those who love chewing gum, getting to try various unique products can be a real treat. There are so many chewing gum products on the market that you might have to work hard to get experience of all of them. There was a time when chewing gums weren't as popular and most of them were indented to cure nervous habitats or to improve the breath. Many of the old chewing gum products that first hit the market have long since retired, but there are some unique older gums that are still being sold. Hollywood chewing gum is one of these older gum products that are still around, and it has not changed much since the first batches that were rolled out to people in the early 50s. This is actually a French product and it can be hard to get in the US. The ninth one is Beaten Sweets and Chocolates from South America.
It all started in 1931 when a Jewish Lithuanian immigrant named Jaime Zolman and his wife Mary bought a business called the Durban Confectionery Coffee and Spice Works for £500, their life savings. They started off by producing handmade boys' sweets toffees with a team of only six people. Durban Confectionery Coffee and Spice Works was renamed Beacon Sweets and Chocolates in 1936. By 1938, Beacon had expanded to the point where it began producing chocolate and had more than 60 staff members. It was at that point that the business caught the eye of a British confectionery manufacturer, Mr. Douglas Maynard. The tenth one is Elite from Israel.
In 1958, Elite launched Israel's first coffee company. Its major competition, both for chocolate and coffee, was Liba, which it bought out in March 1970. In 1982, Elite launched its popular Pesach Zman line of chocolate bars. The Israeli snack food market had been traditionally divided into sweets markets and Ozem, this in the savoury market. In 1991, Elite decided to expand by the salty snack market by establishing a new factory in Sderot, and specifically producing Shush, a copy of Bamba Snack, most popular snack in Israel, all made by Ozem. Elite became the local licensee of Frito-Lay products, producing the best-selling brand Happy Chips. Later, Elite started selling coffee outside of Israel, especially in Europe and South America. The initiative, Cafe Three Curacos, did not reach its objectives, but it signalled Elite's start as an international company. Thank you for listening. Remember
to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye!
Back to Noah in Year 6 next, who is ready to tickle you with his top 15 jokes.
My name is Noah, and I'm here to tell you my favourite 15 jokes. In 15th place, what do you call a loud sleeping dinosaur? A dinosnore. In 14th place, what do you get if you cross a dinosaur with a pig? Jurassic pork. In 13th place, why was the sand upset with the sea? Because the seaweed. In 12th place, what do you call a man with no shins? Tony. In 11th place, what do you call two robbers? A pair of knickers. In 10th place, what do you call a beehive with no exit? Unbelievable. What time do you go to the dentist? 2:30. In 8th place, what do you call mozzarella that belongs to you? Nacho cheese. In 7th place, what cheese do you use to hide a horse? Mascarpone. In 6th place, why did Tigger stick his head down the loo? Because he was looking for poo. In 5th place, what did Sherlock Holmes do when he dropped his mobile phone? He cracked the case wide open. In 4th place, where do fish keep their money? In the riverbank. In 3rd place, what does an English child say to check in on someone? UK. In 2nd place, I love my furniture. Me and my recliner go way back. And in 1st place, we have you seen the new movie Constipation? It hasn't come out yet. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Bye.
Over to Louis from Year 5 next with the top 5 commercial planes.
Hi, I am Louis and I am in Year 5. Today I will be talking about the top 5 most popular commercial airplanes. Number 5. The Airbus A330 family. The Airbus A330 is a large two-engine jet plane made by Airbus. Often called the butter machine for its smooth landings, it's known as a wide-body aircraft because it has two aisles inside, making it feel very spacious. It was designed at the same time as the Airbus A340, so they share many parts, like their body and wings. The A330 first flew in 1992. The first one was given to Air Inter in 1994. This was a longer version called the 300 series. Soon after, Airbus made a shorter version, the 200 series. Airbus also created a cargo version for carrying goods in 2001 and a tanker version for carrying extra fuel to refuel other planes in the air in 2007. Many A330s are still being built and delivered to airlines around the world. Most of these new planes are the shorter 200 series. The Airbus A330neo is a wide-body airline developed by Airbus from the original Airbus A330. A new version with modern engines comparable with those developed for the Boeing 787 was called for by operators of the A330 current engine option. It was launched on 14th July 2014 at the Farnborough Air Show. Number 4. The Embraer E-Jets. The Embraer E-170. The Embraer 170 is the smallest plane in the E-Jet family. It can usually carry up to 76 passengers. This makes it great for shorter flights or routes with fewer travellers. The Embraer E-175. The Embraer E-175 is a slightly longer version of the Embraer 170. Because it's longer, it can carry a few more passengers. It's a popular choice for regional airlines. Embraer E-190. The Embraer E-190 is a larger E-Jet model. It can hold up to 106 passengers. This plane is often used for busier routes or flights that are a bit longer. The Embraer E-195. The Embraer E-195 is the longest and biggest airplane in the E-Jet family. It is a stretched version of the Embraer E-190. The E-195 can carry the most passengers, making it ideal for popular routes. Number 3. The Boeing 777 family. The Boeing 777 is a large airplane that flies long distances. It has two powerful engines. People often call it the 777. This plane can carry many passengers, usually between 283 and 368. It can fly very far, from about 5,235 nautical miles to 9,380 nautical miles. A nautical mile is a bit longer than a regular mile. The first version, the 777-200, started flying for airlines in 1995. A longer version, the 777-300, came out in 1998. It was about 33 feet longer. Later, models that could fly even further, like the 777-300ER and the 777-200LR, were introduced. A cargo plane version, the 777F, first flew in 2008. Boeing also plans to make a new version called the 777X. Over 60 different airlines use the Boeing 777. Emirates has the most of these planes. They have more than 100 in their fleet. Other airlines that use many 777s include United Airlines, Air France, Cathay Pacific, British Airways and American Airlines. Number 2. The Boeing 737 family. The Boeing 737 is a famous American passenger plane. It was built by Boeing in Renton, Washington. This plane is known for its single aisle and two engines. Boeing created the 737 to fly shorter trips and to smaller airports. It kept the same wide-body airport as the Boeing 707, allowing six seats in a row. The plane has two powerful engines under its wings. First thought of in 1964, the first 737-100 flew in April 1967. It started carrying passengers for Lufthansa in February 1968. The longest 737-200 began flying in April 1968. The 737 has changed a lot over four main versions. It can carry between 85 and 215 passengers. The first 737-100 and 200 models used Pratt & Whitney engines. They could seat 85 to 130 passengers. The second version, called the Boeing 737 Classic, came out in 1984. These 300, 400 and 500 models had more fuel-efficient CFM56 engines. They could seat 110 to 168 passengers. The third version, the Boeing 737 Next Generation, NG, arrived in 1997. These 600, 700, 800 and 900 models had updated CFM56 engines, bigger wings and modern digital cockpits. They could seat 108 to 215 passengers. The newest version, the Boeing 737 MAX, started flying in 2017. These 7, 8, 9, 10 models use improved LEAP-1B engines and can carry 138 to 204 people. There are also special versions for business travel called Boeing Business Jets, and military models are also made. By January 2026, over 17,312 Boeing 737s had been ordered and 12,409 were delivered. For a long time, it was the most popular passenger plane ever sold. It was surpassed by the competing Airbus A320 family, which we will look at next, in orders in 2019 and in total deliveries in 2025. The 737 MAX, a newer version, was temporarily stopped flying around the world between 2019 and 2020 after two accidents. This was done to make sure it was completely safe. Number 1. The Airbus A320 family. The Airbus A320 family is a group of popular passenger planes also made by Airbus. These planes are known as narrow-body airliners. They are the best-selling airliners ever built. The A320 first took its first flight on February 22, 1987. and started carrying passengers in April 1988 with Air France. This family of total aircraft includes different sizes, the longer A321, the shorter A319, and the shortest, the A318. These planes are put together in several places around the world. These include Toulouse in France, Hamburg in Germany, Tianjin in China, and Mobile, Alabama in the United States. The A320 family was the first to use advanced digital controls called fly-by-wire. This system helps pilots fly the plane using a small side stick, familiar to a video game controller. These planes can carry many passengers over long distances. In December 2010, Airbus announced an improved version called the A320neo. Neo means new engine option. It has efficient engines and special wingtips called sharklets. These changes make it used about 15% less fuel. The old version is now called the A320ceo, or current engine option. As of January 2026, over 12,400 A320 family aircraft have been delivered to airlines worldwide. It became the most delivered jet aircraft in September 2025. This shows how popular and successful it is. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast, and remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Josh from Year 6 is here next with his very own comedy scripts.
Hello, I am Josh, and today I'm doing a comedy script. So, about a family called the Simpletons, who's not smart. Today we're here to explore the Simpletons and their life. The first one's camping in the woods and is doing a performance to a scout group. Okay, people, I will perform, but first, where is my phone? He has it in his hand and switches on the torch. I will get looking. So he looks on the grass for it when a member of the scout group says, "It's in your hand." Now, the second simpleton is at a campfire. Time to do some outdoor fitness. So first, he warm-ups. So, when he went over to the fire and got warm, ah, so nice, so soothing, stress-releasing. Lastly, there is a simpleton at a talent show. How to get crushed. People assume a love relation, but not. Step 3, go to Amazon and order a hydraulic press the size of a human. Then step in and activate. You have been crushed. The judge pulls out a phone and calls out a therapist. I need a therapist for about 2,000 years. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast.
Okay, now joining us for our interview on this episode is Mr. Clark, who is head of estates here at Manor Lodge. Cody and Noah from Year 6 put in the questions to him.
Hello, welcome to our interview. My name's Cody.
And I'm Noah. Today we're going to interview the school's head of estate, Mr. Clark. Hi, Mr. Clark. Thank you for coming to be interviewed.
You're very welcome.
Can you explain to us what the head of estate is?
So the head of estates has the responsibility for the day-to-day maintenance and development of safe working practices and conditions of all staff, pupils, visitors, and any other person using the premises or engaged activities sponsored by the school. The estate manager is in charge of the upkeep and day-to-day running of the premises and grounds, and health and safety, because that's very important as well. It's important that everyone is safe and secure here at Manor Lodge, and so the head of estates ensures all the buildings and grounds are compliant.
Okay, thank you. Did you have to train to become head of estates?
Yes, so...
How long?
I've been head of estates and looking after facilities since 2009.
How long did it take you to train to be head of estate? To qualify for the job?
Well, it takes many years of experience.
Mm-hmm,
so I've been, as I said, I've been working in schools since 2009.
Okay.
I started off as a caretaker doing cleaning and maintenance, And this was valuable training because it helped me to know and understand that if I was willing to do anything in and around the school and stay humble and be content, because that's important, I would learn valuable skills that would help me in the years to come.
Okay, thank you. How long have you worked in Manor Lodge?
I started working in Manor Lodge since June 2022, so 4 years now.
Okay.
How long have you been in this profession?
So I've been managing facilities and estates since 2009, so for 17 years now.
And have you done any other jobs?
Yes. So before working in schools, I was a printing press operator on the Ridgeway at Mill Hill for 12 years. So I worked on a printing rotary press machine and printed leaflets, magazines, and even Bibles. So automatically at one end of the printing press, it loads on a great big reel of paper. It takes about 20 minutes for that to run out, and then it splices. And then the next reel of paper takes over. The paper then passes through the rollers at great speed, where the ink is then impressed onto the paper in the right places, black, cyan, magenta, yellow. It would then go through a big dryer, and then it passes round chilled rollers, and then the paper's folded into a magazine, and then it travels along a conveyor belt where it's trimmed and then stacked and cling filmed and boxed. All automatically this is happening. So where we were back then in 2001, we were printing 20 magazines per second, which amounted to 90,000 magazines an hour.
Wow, that's very good.
And then before that, I was an assistant chef working in a hospital.
Nice.
What is your favourite thing about being head of estate?
My favourite thing about being head of estates is that I have a key part to play in keeping everyone safe and secure. So I get to work closely with the head teacher and the health and safety governor, and then together we're passionate about how we work together with the rest of the team that run the school and care for its developments. So I know when I do my job properly, then all the children, staff and visitors can focus on what they are doing best in making this place an extraordinary place to be.
What's your favourite thing about working at Manor Lodge?
My favourite thing about working at Manor Lodge, well, it's a lovely place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you see the beautiful grounds and the facilities, it's a joy just to come to work every day and be a part of this.
Thank you.
Thank you. What is your favourite school lunch?
My favourite school lunch, I think, is when we have chili beef with rice, followed by apple crumble and custard. That's nice.
Okay. What subjects did you like when you were at school?
I liked English because I enjoy reading books, so English really helped me in many ways. I also liked science, being able to learn things and then see how that ties in with other things like creation.
Okay.
And the likes.
When did you move from Scotland to England, and do you still have family there?
Yes, I moved from Scotland to England in 1997 when I was 19 years old, way back then. And yes, I do have family there. I have, my dad was one of five children, and my mum is one of three children who all subsequently had children who went on to have their own children. Mm. And so I've got lots of aunties and uncles.
Nice. Do you support a football team? And if so, who is it?
It's funny. I remember going to the house of my father's boss, when I was about 8 years old, together with my brother. And just as we were leaving, my dad's boss gave me one maroonish red apple to me, and he gave my brother a green apple, and he said, "Maroon, apple represents hearts of Midlothian. He says, and the other he gave to my brother, that represented Celtic. So for many years, I supported Hearts of Midlothian, which is a Scottish football team.
Yeah.
Do you know that team?
They're going to win the league.
In Edinburgh. I remember going to watch Hearts play at their stadium there, and over the tannoy, hearing the song that they play at the stadium. Do you know the one? Hearts, glorious.
I saw that.
It's Dantan Castle they play. The talk of the tune are the boys in maroon, and old Ricky supports him with pride. So, Hearts, as you say, they're currently at the top of the.
Yeah, they beat Rangers 2-1.
Celtic, who are my brother's team, they're second place.
And they've won it for like too many years.
Celtic also has a place in my heart as well. They play at Paradise, don't they? Paradise Park.
Yeah.
In Glasgow.
What do you like to do in your free time?
In my free time, I like to read books and be in the garden. I love to be with my family and go on walks together. So we do a lot of that in our free time.
So you said you like reading books. What's your favourite book to read?
I'm a Christian, so I like to read the Bible.
That gives
lots of practical things that we can learn from that, which helps us in everyday life.
Okay, and is there anything else that you can share with us that you think most people wouldn't know about you?
I'm married. I got married in 2009. And together with my wife, we've got two daughters, Annabelle and Emmeline. Annabelle's 10 years old and Emmeline is 9 years old. So not many people know that.
Right.
Yes.
It might sound weird, but do you have haggis?
Haggis?
Yes.
Yes, when I go home, we have haggis, neeps and tatties. So my mum prepares that for me, and I go home about 3 times a year, and they come and visit me the same time. So that's a nice opportunity for me to enjoy that.
And what does it taste like? What does it include?
What does it include? It's all different parts of a sheep that's left over, and it's cooked in sheep's intestines. So it sounds awful, but if it's done in a nice way, with the right seasoning, it can be quite nice. Have you had it? Have you tried it?
No, I've never tried it before.
Well, there's one for you to think about.
And what's your favourite food? Not at school, just in general.
I love steak, a ribeye steak with chips.
How do you like your steak?
Medium to well done.
Okay.
And peppercorn sauce. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting together lovely questions like this. And I hope it's been helpful.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Thank you, Mr. Clark. Good luck to Hearts and Celtic this weekend. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back every couple of weeks or so, so please do hit that subscribe button and spread the word across the Manological community. The music you heard at the start of the podcast was a piece created on Incredibox by Taha and Roshan in year 5. And now to close the show, here's another Incredibox creation, this time made by Hugo, Noah and Cody in year 6.
To the Manological School podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.